Good morning, everybody. Sue's upset the schedule. You just have to excuse me if I cough and wheeze a bit. I've not had a great week health-wise, but I'm better now, or getting better. I just want to share some thoughts with you this morning. Now, we've been looking at, I suppose, the pre-Christmas questions that very often people will ask. Was Jesus real? Yes, he was. Did he need to come? Yes, he did. He came as man and took our place, if you were here last week. And I don't know about you, but I like to understand things. I like to feel that things make sense to me. Are you like that? No, obviously not. It's only me then. I'm curious. I want to know why things happen and why things work and how they work and all that kind of stuff. And so this morning, I want to really explore why Jesus? Why? Was there another way that things could have been done? Why did Jesus have to come? What was the whole purpose of it? And if we look around the world at their spiritual overview, we will see that slowly God has been written out of our culture, of our thinking, of everything we are. Because the why Jesus has never been answered. That question that we ask needs some kind of answer. And I just want to cover some of that this morning. So I want to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. This is a well-known scripture for those that have been on the journey for many years. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's quite a heavy statement, isn't it? That we're not fighting flesh and blood. So what does that mean? It means that as we look at the world, as we see the struggles and strifes that are going on, and we can even have that on an individual basis, very often the drive behind this isn't the person, it's an unseen power. What's the power of sin? Driving people. I mean, road rage seems to have become a thing, doesn't it? And people just lose all sense of reality. They lose all sense of common sense. And we see people raging out of control because they're not in control. Because we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against something that is stronger than each of us. In my last job, I was a civil servant and I used to interview people. Some of you will know what that means, but I used to interview people. And part of the training we used to get for interviewing people, because it's my job to get to the bottom of things. Why things happening? Why did you do such a thing? And the 5W rules is who, what, why, where, and when. So those are the questions you always ask. When you've got your children lined up, who did it? Why did you do it? When did you do it? And where did you do it? It's a good list of questions, that. And very often people will admit, yeah, it was me. And here's the hard one. Why did you do it? And sometimes we've almost got no answer to that. We don't know why we do stupid things. We don't know why we say some of the things we say or do some of the things we do or react the way that we react. We don't know why. Because we don't know. There is a force at work within us that's kind of almost driving us to do things that we don't want to do. And when we're asked why we're doing it, we don't know. We don't have an answer to that. So let's have a look at the why did Jesus come? Why did he come? And I believe that the why of Jesus is the answer to all the questions that we're going to ask this morning. So the moment Adam and Eve sinned, they opened the door to this power called sin. They were overcome by temptation. They were disobedient to God, and this thing called sin just flooded the world, and we gave our authority over to Satan. And from that moment on, humanity really has been on the back foot. We've had no power over the tactics of the enemy. From then until now, we're facing an invisible enemy who seeks to destroy and kill everybody, a truly powerful force that we cannot overcome. And if you do things that you don't know why you do, and they can be habits or addictions or whatever, and you try and stop them, you'll find out how powerful this force that is driving us to destruction really is. It's around us, it's driving us, but there's nothing we can do about it. Romans 5, 6 says this, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 8, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin in the flesh. There was a recognition from God that something needed to be provided that would enable us to overcome this power that's driving us through life. That was going to overcome this power of sin that was going to ultimately destroy us. And he wanted to offer us an eternal solution. So what are we powerless against? See, we were created in God's image. It tells us that in Scripture, we were created in his image. And as humans, we are gifted with some of the attributes of God. And we will recognize these quite readily. Love. It's a God emotion. It's part of who we are. Our emotions are God's creativity. Compassion, ingenuity, great thoughts, vision for the future, overcoming difficulties. There is something about the human spirit that is just fantastic. You look at what we have created and you go, wow. Where's all that come from? I believe that's the creativity, the ingenuity, the capacity that God has placed in humanity to enable it to reflect who God is. Yet in all of these things, we seem to live exactly the opposite to how we were created. We look around and we see selfishness, ego, unruly behavior, lack of care for each other, destruction of the individual and of the world, anger, frustration, and so on and so on. It seems that we know what the right thing to do is, but something's driving us, then we can't do it. The picture of the world that we're getting at the moment is one where it doesn't know what to do, it doesn't know how to resolve its issues, it doesn't know where to go, because there's this struggle that we're having that is not flesh and blood, because that's not what we're fighting against. We aren't fighting against something physical, but something supernaturally, spiritually powerful. This, I believe, is the power of sin, and the world really needs help with it, as do we. Doesn't matter how much we know or what our intention seems to be, this power just is so destructive in our lives. We are separated from all that God has given to us. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not the things or the people we struggle with, but this power that's driving behaviors. And sometimes you will get into conflict with people and you're trying to understand why they're doing what they're doing. And sometimes we try to understand, why am I doing what I'm doing? And it highlights the fact that the battle isn't against that person actually, it's against the spirit driving them. This power that is in the world, that is driving us to destruction, that is driving us to an end where there is no hope, that tells us lies about who we are. We're hopeless, we have no rights to anything, that nobody loves us. All those thoughts that we get that drive our behaviours. As Christians, we know the heart of God to each of us. And it is an amazing heart that God has got for each of us. And we begin to understand that. We know he wants to transform us. We know he loves us completely and forgives us unconditionally. Yet we understand there's a force that we're fighting. We've been given the armour of God, haven't we? If you read on from Ephesians chapter 6, which is we're not fighting against flesh and blood, it then goes on to list the things that God has given to us that we can actually battle against this power that is seeking to destroy us. But it's hard. It's hard. Even though we have been enabled, even though we have been given all these things, it's still hard to battle against. And we can understand why the world can't stand against it, because they've got no weapons at all. It is just totally overwhelming. We know better, but sometimes we can't help it. And Paul wrote about this, didn't he, in Romans chapter 7. He says, I do not understand what I do, for I want what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I just keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. Without Jesus, we are powerless to overcome the drive that sin has in our lives. This is the why of Jesus. At the end of the chapter, Paul writes this, "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord." This is the why of Christmas. Why did Jesus have to come? Why did God have to provide this way for us to overcome sin? Well, Jesus came, didn't he? He lived a life. He died for us that we might live an empowered Christian life to overcome the things that we are fighting against. The very famous scripture, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." And that's an amazing statement. For God so loved the world, he gave us his Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life, but also be enabled to live a powerful, overcoming Christian life, to live a life where God is part of who we are, where every day we talk to God and he leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us in those places where he is helping us to behave in a different way, where our attitudes are challenged and changed, and so are our behaviours. He empowers us to deal with the temptation of sin, this power that is driving us, these spiritual forces. He's given us his Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus had to come. Because he's the only one who could overcome the power of death and the power of sin. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And Jesus came and defeated it. We've got an awesome God. We've got a God who really cares for us. We've got a God who wants to break into our lives, who wants to give us an authority that we haven't got in our natural humanity. This is why Jesus came. And I suppose that initial moment where we go yes to Jesus is the start of the journey. And it is an exciting, it is a life-transforming journey. And I think we've been encouraged, haven't we, this morning, excuse me, to consider restoration. Because sometimes we can be weary in doing good. We can get into that place where we are overwhelmed, where we maybe put down those things that God has given us to fight the enemy. But this morning, just reconnect with God. Allow him to restore your soul. Allow him to empower you to live as he designed as a believer. The way of Jesus. Without him, we are powerless. And we thank him for coming and dying for us. Thank you, Sue.
And the great thing about that that Mark just spoke about is we don't do it in our own strength. So when we say yes to God, he gives us the strength to do it. Because we can't do it on our own. So it's brilliant, that, isn't it? Right, Raymond. Come back up. Come back up, team. Could we do Build My Life? Could we do that one? No, I'm all right.
It's my Sunday name.
Can you just get the words up for me, please? Thank you. Thank you. So the words in this song, because this is what you're singing, worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could